Welcome to iPharmRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iPharmRx, and joining me today is Priyasha Patel, a PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy practice resident from The Ohio State University, to talk about the results of the MOOD-HF study. Depression is a very common comorbidity in patients with heart failure, but little is known about the effectiveness or benefits of antidepressant therapy in this population. Dr. Patel and Dr. Deborah Barnett co-authored a commentary for iPharmRx entitled Helpful, Harmful, or Futile: Antidepressant Use in Patients with Heart Failure. Priyasha, thank you for joining me today for the iPharmRx podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks so much for having us. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this article today.
So, Priyasha, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Effect of Escitalopram on All-Cause Mortality and Hospitalization in Patients with Heart Failure and Depression, the MOOD-HF Randomized Clinical Trial, which was published in June 2016 in the journal JAMA, to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Well, Stuart, as the title kind of explains, the whole premise of the MOOD-HF trial, it was essentially designed to address the potential cardiovascular benefit of treatment of depression in patients with heart failure. The study randomized almost 400 patients who had left ventricular ejection fraction of less than 45% and a diagnosis of major depression to either a placebo group or escitalopram. And the primary outcome was looking at the impact on time to first event of the composite of all-cause death or hospitalization. What the study found was that after 18 months of participation, they had to terminate the study early due to a lack of benefit seen in that primary outcome. And they additionally found that there was a similar response rate in terms of depression symptoms in both the placebo group and the escitalopram group. And these were measured through the MADRS and the PHQ-9 scores. So overall, the results indicated that no mortality or hospitalization benefit was seen with treating depression in patients with heart failure.
So Priyasha, what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of this study? And are there any potential biases or potential confounders present in the study that you believe may have impacted the results?
Well, Stuart, I think there's a lot of different things to think about, both in terms of strengths as well as weaknesses and factors that could have played a significant role in the results that we saw from this trial. So starting off with the strengths, I think one of the main strengths was the study design being a randomized, double-blinded, intention-to-treat protocol that they followed. They also utilized tools to assess depression that have been validated in primary literature, as I mentioned, the PHQ-9 and the MADRS. In addition to that, this was a first trial where we were giving an adequate amount of time to see a response for therapy in terms of the use of antidepressants, as the median time to follow up was about 18 months. Previous to this trial, anything comparable to the studying of antidepressant use in heart failure patients was the SAD heart trial, which had not as long of a follow-up period. Another strength of this trial was that they actually were able to measure adherence through confirming the levels of escitalopram through serum concentrations, and therefore we knew that patients were actually taking the medication and being adherent. And when we take a look at the doses that were achieved between the two groups, they were also comparable. So they achieved an average of a 15.8 milligram dose of escitalopram in that group. So we know that that was adequate in terms of being able to see a clinical effect if we were going to see one. When we take a look at the actual study population that was being studied between the placebo group and the escitalopram group, the baseline characteristics were relatively comparable in terms of what the severity of the baseline was at depression, in addition to the baseline heart failure symptoms. Even though there were multiple exclusion criteria that were part of this trial, patient population that was being studied was quite complex in terms of having class 3 and 4 heart failure patients that were included in the trial, and basically also telling us that this patient population was quite at risk for rehospitalization because of the complexity of their disease states. The last strength of the study in terms of the patient population was that these were all patients that were naive to treatment, so they couldn't have responded to another SSRI in the past. Moving on to potential confounders in terms of what could have impacted the results, I think there's several things to consider here. So the first thing is that when you take a look at the severity of the depression, the depressive symptoms that the patient population had in both arms, roughly 80% of the patient population, based off of those PHQ-9 and MADRS scores, were in a category rated as mild to moderate severity of depression. In addition to that, both patient groups had received psychotherapy, which essentially is considered as part of standard first-line approach to mild to moderate depression, according to the American Psychiatry Association treatment guidelines. And so if we know that the severity of the depression is majority of the patient population, and both groups did receive cognitive behavioral therapies that were provided, both face-to-face and over telephone encounters, then it's difficult to say that that was not the only thing that was affecting the results other than the medication. In terms of how many patients were able to stay on the treatment throughout the study, discontinuation rates were noted to be higher in the escitalopram group. However, there were no specific reasons in terms of adverse effects or what the rationale was for discontinuation that was provided. In addition, when you're taking a look at the median follow-up time frame, that was 18 months between the two groups. In terms of how we would apply that to clinical practice, if there's a medication that has not been found to be clinically beneficial for the patient in terms of improving their symptoms, I'm not sure that we in clinic or in clinical practice would be continuing such a medication.
Priyasha, personally, I found the results of this study somewhat surprising. Not only did escitalopram fail to show a benefit in terms of mortality or rates of all-cause hospitalizations, but escitalopram was no better than placebo in terms of improvements in these depressive symptoms. And this is not the first study that has failed to show a benefit from antidepressant use in patients with heart failure. I think this calls into question the use of antidepressants in this population. What are your thoughts? Do you continue to advocate the use of drugs to treat depression in patients with heart failure? And would it make a difference if the patient had a history of depression predating their heart failure diagnosis?
So I do believe that there's a role for antidepressant therapy in this patient population. So the antidepressant therapy that would be recommended for this patient population should hopefully help improve depression symptoms, but without the expectation that there's going to be an impact on cardiovascular morbidity and mortality and hospitalizations, as we know that the results of the MOOD-HF trial did not support that there was a reduction in morbidity and mortality. I think the results of this trial give us the confirmation that we should really be tailoring the choice of pharmacotherapy versus non-pharmacotherapy with consideration of what the severity of depression symptoms are in addition to patient preference. And so when we have a patient that has mild to moderate symptoms and they're amenable to trying cognitive behavioral therapy or some sort of psychotherapy, then that can be approached first line. Versus someone who does not have access to psychotherapy, then they might be better candidates for going straight to the pharmacotherapy approach. I think this also brings in an important point that we can't neglect the growing body of literature that supports placebo response in efficacy studies in the realm of psychiatry. In general, antidepressant trials have shown that in the treatment arms, you can see a response rate of up to 50%, and compare that to the current response rate of placebo in depression studies can actually be as high as 45 to 48%. So in regards to your question about if it makes a difference if the patient had a history of depression that predated the heart failure diagnosis, I do not believe that that really changes the treatment approach. I think my approach in terms of how I would tailor pharmacotherapy and non-pharmacotherapy would be dependent on patient preference and the severity of depression, irrespective of what came first. If this patient is suffering from mild severity depression, then it might still be appropriate to take the non-pharmacologic approach before initiating pharmacotherapy.
So, Priyasha, I want you to imagine you're seeing a 71-year-old Filipino man in clinic after being discharged from the hospital for an acute heart failure exacerbation a few days ago. The patient is accompanied by his wife and adult daughter. He was diagnosed with heart failure about a year ago, and prior to his admission, he only had shortness of breath with exertion. He's been prescribed an ACE inhibitor, a beta blocker, an aldosterone antagonist, and a loop diuretic. For a few weeks prior to admission, his wife and daughter noted that the patient was increasingly apathetic. He had little interest in eating. He wasn't getting out of bed until late in the morning, and he expressed increasingly negative thoughts and frequently lamented about his poor health and being a burden to everyone. According to the patient's daughter, such negative comments were highly uncharacteristic. Her father was, quote, the happiest man I've ever known and always took life's disappointments in stride. You've known this patient for several years, and he seems unusually withdrawn to you today, giving only brief responses to your questions. He denies suicidal thoughts, but admits to skipping doses of medication, saying, why bother? In addition to referring this patient for further evaluation and psychotherapy, would you recommend antidepressant treatment to this patient? If so, what drug would you favor and how long would you recommend he receive treatment?
So based on the types of symptoms that the patient has been reporting in addition to the family members, it sounds like this patient has had a significant change in their mood. So the first approach that I would take would be to quantify the severity of his depression using a validated tool such as the PHQ-9. And just based off of his symptoms that you had described, I would assume that he would fall at least into a moderate severity depression. I think he is a good candidate to consider and talk to the patient about initiating antidepressant. So in terms of choosing an antidepressant agent, I think there's good data from both the MOOD-HF as well as the Sad Heart trial to suggest that neither escitalopram nor sertraline have a detrimental impact on cardiovascular outcomes. And so I wouldn't prefer one over the other, as both of them showed no harm. But I think that is a reason to actually use one of those two medications, because we know that in this high-risk patient population, we want to make sure that there's no sort of negative cardiovascular outcomes associated with them. In terms of the duration of therapy, following what the APA guidelines would be recommending, where commitment to therapy for at least the acute phase would be until a response is seen, as we would define as a 50% reduction in symptoms. And then once the patient has had that response, deciding the maintenance phase to prevent relapse, which could, per guideline recommendations, could range between 4 to 9 months. And then if there's any reason or other sort of risk factors for the patient to need therapy beyond that, then that would be a discussion at that point.
Well, thank you, Priyasha, for joining us today to discuss the treatment of depression in patients with heart failure. It's clear from your comments that you believe using pharmacotherapy in patients with depression who have concurrent heart failure is still appropriate, particularly in those patients with moderate and severe depressive symptoms. The use of counseling and psychotherapy should be the first-line therapy in those with mild depression. Well, tell us what you think by posting a comment. Only iFormRx members can leave comments and use other interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes signing off.